and welcome, everybody. Today I have a special guest, Kim. Welcome, Kim.
Welcome, thank you.
Yeah, so I'm really glad to have you here because not only are you someone I've found to be really insightful, Kim's a nurse, you also are a leader, so you understand teams and workplace environments and all this kind of stuff. And you've been giving me some of your own personal examples that are going to help me in my upcoming book, The Power Handbook for Women, as well as Self-Care and Healthcare. So full disclosure, I've known Kim for about 6 weeks, and she was a brave soul who agreed to come on and ask a question so that all of you could learn. So Kim, what have you been thinking about?
So thank you, Naya. I think the last 6 weeks have been amazing. And we've been talking about self-care and communication. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how do I communicate or deal with toxic people at work by preserving my self-balance and physical balance with all the changes in healthcare? And it's rampant everywhere. People are burnt out. They're scared. They're mean. They're withdrawn. And if I'm trying to balance myself, how do I deal with a toxic person in my environment?
So that's a great question because I think you're speaking of it in healthcare, but I'm pretty sure it's happening in every industry.
Probably, yes.
Right? Like technology has disrupted a lot of industries. They're kind of trying to find their way. The pace of our lives are moving faster and faster. And I think what you're really speaking to is how do I handle an environment where people are coming more from fear than love? Is that
correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
So have you seen a change over time? Like, was there a time when it felt different than this?
There was. The organization I work at is large, but it always had a family feel. Mm. And over the years, like every other healthcare, it's become more of a business than a people-serving place. And that's needed to survive. But because we've had rampant change, and I would say change fatigue, everybody's uncertain. So instead of pulling together, people are being siloed and you're fragile. And I would say from my standpoint, I used to be very good at stepping in and mentoring people and molding them and bringing them through the situations. But I mean, it affects me as much as them. And to get over that, you know, how do I protect myself or how do I, and we've talked about that through all your classes, with self-healing. But when you get into that environment and someone just, I mean, it just brings you down immediately. So hard when you're trying to heal.
All right. So I think of creating healing organizations that it's a me, we world approach. Most people have single vision, which is me. What do I want? What's my promotion? What's my career path? What do I need to do? What's my job, roles, and responsibilities? Me, 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 me. That's mm-hmm. a natural default, right, in human nature. Now, not in healthcare. In healthcare, we are we. How can I serve you, you? Like, we get our self-worth from serving our patients and serving others. So in a weird way, it is me, but it's kind of an indirect me. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And so what you've done is you've also been in leadership, yes?
I am executive director, yes. I've been in leadership for a while.
Okay, so you know the roles. There is a time when you are me, and there is a time when it has to be about we, and there's a time when it has to be about world. But a leader actually has to navigate all three at the same time.
Yes.
And so I wonder, on a me level for you, what's been changing lately? So you spoke of change in the world, okay? And you spoke of change in the we, right? But there's a me, we world. So tell me what's been changing for you.
So changing for me, I think it's the first time I've ever really identified that I had anxiety and stress that was impacting me. As a healthcare worker, you ride that stress curve and you're on the top. And then when you do that slippery slow down, I didn't know how to handle it. So as I said before, I had my first, I think, anxiety attack. And you're always supposed to be the strong one, the one taking care of others. So it was a perfect storm of a physical ailment, a family issue, and the uncertainty at work. And I just was like, I can't deal with this. But you have to. I mean, you have to move forward. People are leaning on you. So that was my change. That was my what
was
going on.
Well, that was me world right there. It was a physical ailment for you, change in the family, and work all coming down at once. So it's this way that everybody, not everybody, but a large proportion of the world right now is feeling chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is, when this many things change at once, how do we stay grounded? How do I stay grounded in myself? And then you're saying, and when I am grounded in myself, because you've learned all these tools, what do I do in the presence of other people who are chaotic? Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's okay. What I'm saying.
All right. So a few things. The first thing is, you have to know where you end and somebody else begins. And as healthcare workers, because we're helping people in physical crisis, emotional crisis, end of life, all these experiences where we can really feel empathy, sympathy, caring, love for these people and what they're going through, our hearts bleed to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we lose the barrier, the boundary, the knowing of where I end and they begin. And there's a way that we sometimes take on responsibility that isn't ours. So what I mean by that is, if you came to me, Kim, and you said, "Naya, this is this whole thing that's going on for me, and you, like, don't you think it's awful?" and all this kind of stuff. Now, I have choices in how I can interact with you.
Okay.
If you're speaking about leadership, let's say, for example, I could jump on the bandwagon with you and I could be like, "Oh yeah, let me tell you what they did to me." Okay. And I have a choice of a way, like, do I want to get into the drama triangle of gossip and all of this stuff and create more toxicity with you? That's a choice I have.
Yes.
Now, once you've learned about yourself, you get to say, "Huh, I want to stay connected to this other person. They're going through something really difficult." Then I would drop from the words you're saying, I drop down to listening for your emotions. Kim, God, that sounds awful. It really sounds like it's been hard. You've been feeling anxious. You even, for the first time, really felt a panic attack. Gosh, that is awful. Then I would do this, because I know where I end and you begin. I would mm-hmm. say, instead of trying to do this, "Have you tried this? Have you done this? Have you checked this person out? Have you done this?" I would say this one sentence. "How can I best support you?" Because
and that's a powerful sentence.
Now, it's not my responsibility. It is your job to tell me how I can support you. And then my job, instead of working really hard, "What about this? What about this? Did you try this? Did you?" Which is medicine. We're giving everybody the assessment, the plan, right? We're doing all these things because we're the one who are supposed to know. And sometimes when you have your own physical ailment and you need to start funneling your time and energy to taking care of you, you may not have the capacity to solve everybody else's problems. So it's about boundaries, but before you have boundaries, before you can share your boundaries with somebody else, you have to know what they are yourself.
Yeah.
When you have spent decades and decades as a nurse, as a leader, focusing outward on other people, I'm really just wondering if the last 6 weeks on burnout and self-care and all this kind of stuff has been eye-opening on, and your physical illness have been eye-opening in the realm of you having to focus on you, like no choice in the matter.
It has been, and like we discussed, like this was difficult to open up. It's, you know, when you're that type A strong leader, you take care of everything and just let it go, or, you know, you're last. Healthcare workers do that all the time.
Okay,
I
want you to say what you just said and say, "I put myself last." Not you.
I put myself last and didn't let my needs come through to anybody else. I let everybody else's needs come to me.
And your body said, "Enough."
Enough. And it was a wake-up call for me because I said, "I can't do this anymore. I can't be everything for everybody at all realms." And what I ended up doing was disconnecting. And I think that was one of the things I said in the beginning of our sessions. I let my anxiety get so strong that to deal with it, I disconnected from everybody, which is not healing either. So these sessions have really opened up, like, get your elevator out of your head, bring it down to your heart, and you've got to connect, but connect in a way that it doesn't harm me or drain me. If I'm still healing, yep. I have to set those boundaries.
And so it's about choosing who the right others are for you to be around at this point in your life. So when we, there's a way that we can come from creativity in our heart and creative collaboration. And there's ways when things are chaotic that sometimes people go to a reactive space. And when they mm-hmm. do, there's multiple ways that they show up, right? They can try to please other people. If things are worrying them and they want to avoid conflict or whatever it is, they can go into pleasing other people. Another way they can do it is by kind of separating themselves from other people by becoming a little bit arrogant or distant. Another way they can do it is by physically removing themselves, physically and emotionally removing themselves from situations. And sometimes you need to do that. When you're heading into the level of anxiety where you think you may be like imploding or where it's just a panic attack, that is when you do need to disconnect, and disconnecting is really useful and helpful. All of these strategies are useful and helpful until they are overused. When you disconnect mm-hmm. and now you feel lonely and alone and depressed, you know, I'm not saying that you were those things. I'm just saying that's usually what happens when you disconnect for any finite period of time, like not finite, extended period of time. And then too much of a strategy, even if it's a strength in the moment, becomes a weakness. Yes. And so what you're doing is you're renegotiating and you're finding your way back, because the truth is you can't heal. Like burnout, self-care, physical traumas, emotional trauma, we heal in community. We are humans, and by the way that we are programmed in our DNA, we care about connection and belonging. And we heal in community, not in isolation. But really, really important, Brené Brown speaks about this, is really knowing who you are choosing to open up to. And making sure that that is the right community. I gave a TEDx talk on this. It was called, it was several years ago, it must have been 2012, it was called The Community Cure. And it's about thinking and making sure you surround yourself with the right others. And it tells you biologically how we influence one another. Literally by being in the same room, being in the next office next to somebody else, how it has that much effect on us and we discount it. So tell me what your takeaways are. How was this for you? Did this make any sense? Do you have any new ahas or something that you think you can use?
The takeaways, yes, I'm learning to set the boundaries as I'm going back into the community, trying to reconnect. I have to get a little more stress back in my life because I've really gone off that curve. And part stress living is part of me. I mean, that's my, you know, critical care, you know, leadership type A. You kind of thrive on that. But I have been selectively telling people.
Who thrives on it?
I thrive on it. I did, and I need to bring back. I am starting to connect with people and reaching out to them and telling them what I've been going through, because up to this point, it's been very private to me. Mm-hmm. With our group on Thursdays, a great support group. But I've also reached out to a few select friends and a coworker, and they're safe people for me. It's not somebody I'm going to worry about if they judge me or not. Obviously I'm not going to go into a meeting and say, hey guys, you know, having panic attack, anxiety attacks, but I really have like, find your community, find what your boundaries are and how to, have the conversations with them to get what I need and to get to how I move on. Not we, not them, me. And as a leader, you are expected, no matter what the time is, to put on a good face and help your team. I'm expected. And you're told, you know, you are told. I am told from my superiors, you know, get your team, you know, engaged. And I need to say, well, how about me? How can I get my team engaged or the frontline staff engaged? If I feel uncertain, if I feel the fear for the future, if it is impacting me.
So what you say is, I want to get my team engaged, and the support I need for me in order to do that is. So you find the responsibility to get really clear about the same question we asked earlier, which is, How can I best support you? So your job with your leadership is to do that same thing. And I guess this is not going to be as private anymore as it has always been. And what I will tell you about that is you're going to share your experience to empower other people to know that it's okay. That if they're experiencing something as well, this is actually about you stepping into your personal power, owning what's true for you, and saying, this is my experience, and I'm going to get better at boundaries. So thank you so much for doing this and being with us. And yeah, it's just been really an honor to talk to you. And thanks for all the help you're going to give other people.
Thank you, Dr. Nay. And I really hope that this empowers other people to step forward and get out of their comfort zone and say, I need to support myself.
Thank you.
All good.